Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Do you like chocolate, avocados, a drop of tequila perhaps? Well, you better get on board with liking bats. And yes, I am talking about the furry flying mammal, because bats are vital in helping with pollination, controlling pests, fertilising plants and more when it comes to our agricultural landscapes. Dr. Niamh Roach from Bat Conservation Ireland joins me on the line now. Good morning, Niamh.
Hiya, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. It's lovely to have you with us. Before we talk about how essential bats are, will you tell me why we generally don't like bats? Like, how did they get such a bad name?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, it's very hard to answer that because I suppose these things kind of get lost in the mist of time. But I suppose they have these associations with the likes of Dracula and vampires and things like that. You know, it's very much a cultural thing. In sort of northwestern Europe, we tend to have this negative view of bats. But, you know, you go to other parts of the world and, you know, in some places they're considered good luck, or, you know, they don't really mind either way about bats. So it does seem to be very cultural and very much based in kind of Europe, this negative thing about bats.
Right.
Well, we're so it's not like something we're born with, you know.
We're going to lobby now for their reputation. We're going to do a public relations job on the bats, because I mentioned,
good job, yeah.
I mentioned pollination there at the beginning, and pollination, you immediately think about bees and perhaps other insects, but bats have a really important role to play in that regard.
For sure, yeah. Now, I suppose I should clarify, first of all, though, in Ireland and in Europe, we don't have bats that do pollination or nectar eating. You do in the sort of equatorial regions, you know, we're in the sort of centre, in the tropics, you get an awful lot of different species of bats, right? So there's, across the world, there's like 1,400 plus different species of bats, so they eat all sorts of different things. But in the sort of warm places, you will also get bats that eat pollen and nectar. And those are the types of bats that might be involved then in our crops.
But here, they have an important job to do here. And you found that out for sure with this study in UCD based on bat droppings, which interestingly, you had members of the public gather and send in to you, which they did.
Yes. So it was great. We basically put a call out. Actually, one of our calls was on your program back in 2021, and lots of people signed up for it. So these are people who have bats that are roosting maybe in the attic spaces of their houses or in outbuildings. And they signed up and we sent them a pack so that they could basically safely, with tweezers and gloves and a mask, pick up bat droppings and put them in a little vial, and they sent them to UCD. And they carried out what they call DNA meta barcoding. So this is a technique basically to sort of figure out all the DNA in that dropping. And they were able to figure out what the bat species was and also then what the bats were eating. So we found that we have 9 species in Ireland. So of the 9 species, we found 7 different species of bat in the different droppings. And there was over 200 different types of insects that they were eating. But nearly 50% of the droppings had these insects called crane flies, or sometimes some people would know them by the name daddy long legs.
Yeah.
You know, these big flies with long legs that kind of drunkenly fly around the light kind of in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So they're not great in a farming context or a gardening context. Any of the gardeners would know leather jackets, any of your listeners there who garden. They're these little grubs that are in the soil and they love chewing on seedlings. I know I've lost plenty of lettuce seedlings to these guys. So they lay their eggs in the soil and the eggs form these larvae called leather jackets that eat crops and vegetables. And so our bats are basically going around and they're eating those for us during the summer, during the summer months.
So the bats are doing the job of a pesticide.
Exactly. So, you know, it's what you call an ecosystem service. So like pollination in the sort of tropical regions here for us, they're doing these pest control services that we might not even know about.
Okay. Can we talk about that pollination job that they do then in other parts of the world? Because there are some foods that would be seriously affected if we had a fall off in bat numbers globally.
Yes, for sure. So, I mean, I suppose one that we probably all have on our in our fruit bowl is bananas. So bananas are almost wholly bat pollinated. And that would be in the wild. So the banana that you buy in Tesco or whatever is actually a sterile. Usually it doesn't produce much pollen, but all of the wild forms of bananas would be pollinated by bats. And that's really important because, you know, if you're a plant breeder and you want to maybe make your bananas a bit more resistant to some disease or something, you're going to bring in some of those wild plants and cross them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So keeping that genetic diversity of bananas in the wild is really important, and you need bats to do that for you. You mentioned tequila. So anybody who likes a tipple of tequila or mezcal, the agave cactus, which is what is used to create tequila, that is pollinated again by bats in the desert in Mexico. So again, genetic diversity, you need to have bats there that are crossing the different plants so that they're good and robust and disease resistant and the like. Mm-hmm. There's other crops as well that are impacted by bats in a good way, but it's not necessarily pollination. For chocolate, they found when they've done these big experiments with nets around the cacao plants, where they've excluded the bats, they found that basically the amount of chocolate produced is reduced by about 30%, because the bats can't get in there and nab those, pest insects off the plants or from away from the plants.
And they get their way then to do as much damage as they like if the bat isn't there to dispose of them.
Yeah.
So in order to preserve our bat population, our attitudes really need to change, don't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the key number one step. You know, if you have bats, if you can be tolerant of them in your attic space or in your outhouse or wherever you have them, that's, you know, obviously a really good thing, because that is number one conservation measure, is to allow them to roost where they need to roost and to where they shelter and have young. They have just one baby a year. They don't reproduce like mice or anything like that. So, you know, where they shelter is really important, and that's where they get their babies have a good chance of survival if they have a good roost. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose in the kind of wider landscape, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to help bats. We can retain native hedgerows or put them back if we've lost them, because our bats tend to fly out along these kind of features in the landscape, and they kind of like being around hedges and tree lines and that, because A, they've got more insects around them, but also B, owls and stuff can't see them so easily because they're kind of camouflaged against these features.
They need to have a good,
so hedgerows are really
safe place to be. Niamh, I'll have to leave it there because we're just coming up to news time, but thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that we managed to boost the rep of bats here this morning. That's Dr. Niamh Roach from Bat Conservation Ireland.